Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the program. Lori Rubenson here with you. And, of course, it was a football Sunday here in New York. It also was supposed to be game one of the ALCS featuring the Yankees. It was not. A heartbreak over the weekend, the Yankees losing and the season ending. So to kind of put some perspective, wrap a bow on the season, and as we look forward into the offseason for the Yankees, I thought we'd bring in Brendan Cuddy from The Ledger. And BK, how are you?
Lori, I'm well. I'm still here in San Diego. I can't get over how this season ended, so I decided to stay. I'm staring at a palm tree, Lori. This is too difficult to leave. I'm sure the Yankees didn't want to leave.
I'm sure they did not either. So how about some perspective, and we start with that, as you gaze at a palm tree, is how do you sum up the season for Yankee fans who maybe are still in a little bit of a state of shock?
Headache, heartbreak, vomit. Just think of all the things that went wrong this year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with the coronavirus
yeah.
that just racked the entire world. And then go down from there. 60-game schedule. So you don't really know who the best team was this year. Last year, the Nationals, who won the World Series, they weren't any good until the All-Star break. So the Yankees, you think, maybe could have had a shot at the AL East in a 162-game season. It's just a rough overall season. That being said, stacked roster, so many injuries. For the fourth year and an early playoff exit for Yankees fans, and now we're looking at 11 years without a World Series. That's incredible. Yankees fans feel that in dog years, Lori. So that feels like 77 years.
As you mentioned, you know what? It's yet again a playoff exit before getting to even the World Series. And for Yankee fans, especially those who were part of the George Steinbrenner culture of its World Series, or, the season's not successful. What do you make of getting to the playoff and not the postseason and not quite getting it done? Is it something where, as successful as this team has been and, consistently making the postseason, is there something where Brian Cashman has to have a long, hard look at this team? I know we'll talk about pitching in a moment and need for some more starting pitching or, bullpen help or other things like this. But in terms of also even the offense, as you get to, elite pitching and the postseason, does Brian Cashman need to look at this team and make some tweaks here?
Okay, so that's a twofold answer. I think you look at the Yankees and you see the injuries they encountered, and that's not an excuse. The Rays put a ton of players on the IL this year, yet they were the best team in the American League. Losing Tommy Kahnle was just disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
Look at who the Yankees were pitching in the middle to late innings.
Yeah, it was clear that Aaron Boone did not have confidence really in that bullpen, beyond three guys. I mean, that was
he
clear.
Couldn't. Really, two and a half guys. Chad Green took kind of a backpedal this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, without Tommy Kahnle around, who was really pitching well until he got hurt, until he needed Tommy John surgery, they were in trouble. But, they expected to pair Gerrit Cole with Luis Severino.
Yep.
To pair him with James Paxton.
Yeah.
There were so many key injuries that happened. Now, the Yankees got healthy during the postseason, but if you look at how their lineup is set up, they crush mediocre to good pitching throughout the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Homer after homer after homer. And you can never have too many home runs. I'll never be that guy. I'll never have that argument. But I think there's a case to be made for a team that hits a little bit, more. This is not a word, Lori. We're making up words here. I write for a living. Versatile-y. With a little more they have a little bit more versatility than what the Yankees have. Against elite pitching, against really good pitching, the Yankees have a hard time producing runs outside of a homer. And that's a little bit scary. But that being said, one more time, DJ LeMahieu didn't have a great playoff. And he's not a homer guy. And he's the best hitter.
Right.
So I don't know what you do.
All right. So what about if we're looking big picture on this season? Tell me something, if I ask you what went right. Tell me something that went right for the Yankees, for Yankee fans, as they think about the offseason.
Gerrit Cole.
Mm-hmm.
The $324 million you spent on Gerrit Cole, that looked like a great investment. I think let's forget about the performance. Let's talk about the day before he started Game 5. He was asked, when were you told? His answer was, no one had to tell me. Lori, this is a family program, but think about the balls it took to say that. Just honestly, no one had to tell me. I knew. I'm the man, he said. So that's what you want
from an ace. Yeah, when people talk about there's number one pitchers and then there's an ace. And a number one pitcher is just the best pitcher on your staff. An ace is the guy who says, no one had to tell me. Like, I know I'm the man. That's an ace.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's what you want from your star. Other bright spots?
Mm-hmm.
How about Clint Frazier? Does he go in next year as your primary left fielder? How about Davey Garcia? Did he show you enough to at least latch on to the fifth spot of the rotation? How about Clark Schmidt, who, though his numbers weren't very good, his production wasn't very good, the stuff was there, the mentality is there, you know he's going to perform. So there definitely were some bright spots. You want to talk about downsides?
Yeah, that's the next question. What went wrong?
DJ LeMahieu, listen, this didn't go wrong, but DJ LeMahieu had such a good year, you have to crack open the piggy bank for him.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. You can't let him walk. If you let the Yankees' best player leave, if the fan base is going to go nuts. So what went wrong? Aaron Judge being hurt for a lot of the season. Giancarlo Stanton being hurt for a lot of the season. Gary Sanchez, what do you do with him?
That's the question. Certainly, one of the ones I was going to ask you is, what do you do with Gary Sanchez? And what do the Yankees even do with the catching position heading into next season?
My gut says they will do this. They won't trade Gary Sanchez over the offseason. He'll
get into shape.
He'll work himself into some incredible physical condition with his back against the wall. He will. They'll look at him as still the answer behind the plate. They'll go into spring training with the idea of him as the starting catcher. And maybe, we'll see. Maybe some team starting catcher will get hurt. They'll trade him, and they'll rock with Kyle and whoever else they end up going with. I think right now the Yankees are in such a bad spot with Gary because they've hung their hat on him for years and years and years. And, the closest parallel I have is Greg Bird.
Mm-hmm.
When they held on to Greg for as long as they could, and in one day the tune changed and Luke Voit was a starter. And next thing you knew it, $2.5 million was too expensive for a Greg Bird, so they cut him. Could they do that again with Gary? He made $5 million this year. He's mm-hmm. Due for a raise via arbitration. So do you want to pay him $6 million going into next year? Yikes. I think they do it. I think they bite the bullet. I think they hope that Gary comes back. But I don't think they hang their hats on him for long term. I think he's shown he's not your catcher of the future. He's not a catcher in the future. He's a DH first baseman who needs to go play those positions somewhere else.
Talking to Brendan Cuddy from The Ledger, trying to wrap up the Yankee season on the field and start to look to the offseason for the Yankees. And you mentioned, before we were mentioning Davey Garcia, some of the bright spots of the season. Look, I have to ask you about game two and the way, just in general, the way Aaron Boone maybe handled the pitching staff in this series. You know, how much of this, everybody talking about, how much of this is Yankee front office dictating to the manager, this is what we want you to do and how we want you to use guys, and how much of this is Aaron Boone getting to make those decisions?
So, you've had bosses, right?
Yep.
Obviously, you have one at WFAN.
Yep.
You've, experienced in your life bosses who expect things from you without telling you they demand things from you. Now, we don't know this. We don't know how on board Aaron Boone was with the idea, right? The heart of hearts, we have no idea. According to the New York Post's Joel Sherman, the front office presented Boone with the idea. They came to him and said, this is what we think you should do, but it's your final decision. Now, maybe Aaron was on board. Maybe he was like, hey, this sounds great. You know, I'm sure they gave him plenty of numbers that made it sound like an awesome idea to take Davey Garcia out of the first inning and then go on to J-Hap as soon as possible. But you're also looking at a lame duck manager who is going in, who has an option for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no guarantee that he's back, even though you think he is. You're looking at a first-year pitching coach. Do they feel like they have the latitude to push back against the front office if they want to keep their jobs? That's a question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a moot point if Aaron is on board with it and he thought it was a great idea from the outset. Moot point, great. It's done upon him. But if there was any shred of a doubt, you wonder whether he had the authority or he felt like he had the job security to do it anyway.
We're talking to Brendan Cuddy from The Ledger. And all right, so Aaron Boone, as you mentioned, club option. Do you feel pretty confident that he's back next year as Yankee manager?
1,000,000%, Laurie.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, I wouldn't be shocked if they extend him, give him another year. Because more often than not, you don't want your manager to go into a season with his job security hanging over his head. It happened with Joe Girardi probably because the Yankees had already made up their mind as to whether they keep him or not.
Yeah, it's been something they've done. I mean, they used to, they've done it to Brian Cashman. It's been something they've done as their MO. So it wouldn't shock me if they don't give him the extension, even if they intend to bring him back. But I'm with you in that I think that he will be back next year as Yankee manager. We talked about the catching situation up in the air. So you mentioned before Luis Severino getting hurt, and we know, Tanaka, free agency, J-Hap. What do the Yankees do in terms of this pitching staff? There are some guys who will be, some young players there.
I'm sorry that there were some motorcycles that were kind of obnoxious going past me there. I couldn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
All right. I thought maybe you were getting into a drag race while we were talking. That would be quite versatile. You mentioned versatility before. I guess my question is, what do the Yankees do for starting pitching, given the free agents that are going to be, guys like Tanaka? They have free agents and Hap. What do you think they do? Do they go out and get into the Trevor Bauer sweepstakes and try and bring him in as their number two pitcher? Paxton's a free agent. What do the Yankees do for pitching next year?
I don't think they bring in Trevor Bauer. Bauer and Cole go back to the UCLA days. They've had some disagreements over the years. I don't see them wanting to bring that dynamic into the clubhouse. Not to say that they haven't patched things up or that they couldn't patch things up. I don't see it happening. Not to mention, the Yankees just dropped $324 million on Cole last year. They're not going to play in the top area of the pitching market again for quite some time. You're getting back Luis Severino, I think, in August. You're getting back Domingo Herman from his domestic violence yep. situation in spring training. So, you know, you have some guys coming back. I think you re-sign Tanaka. I think Tanaka knows that he's not getting $22 million a year or $21 million a year like he was getting previously. I think that you can get him at a cheaper rate. I think he wants to stay. Paxton and Happ, you probably let them walk. And maybe you fill the holes in with Davey, with Clark Schmidt. Or maybe the Yankees can use their magic that they've used to find low-cost position players mm-hmm. like Gio Urshela and Luke Voit and Aaron Hicks at the time you know, they traded him for John Ryan Murphy. Maybe they can make work some magic there on the pitching front. But I don't think they play in the high-end free agent pitching market this year.
What do they do with a guy like Mio Andujar? What do you see for him?
I don't know, you know, because the Yankees don't know. I think Miguel Andujar has to be an everyday player for him to be effective, right?
Yep.
I think the bat is a volume bat. He's a guy who swings a lot. He's a guy who gets hot in bunches. But he's a guy who goes cold in bunches, and he's a guy who doesn't walk a whole lot. So he needs consistent at-bats. As the roster is currently constructed, he's not going to get them. He's not going to get them over Clint Frazier. He's not going to get them over Gio Urshela. So you got to trade him. So, or you keep him as a reserve. But, you know, say you try to trade him, what are you going to get for a guy who has no defensive position? And for a guy who's kind of a streaky hitter? I think his value is taking a giant hit. I wouldn't be shocked if they tried. I'm going to be nuts here. What if they pair him with Gary Sanchez to get some pitching?
Yeah. But
you know, Gary Sanchez's stock is down. Miguel Andujar's stock is down. Two high-risk, high-reward guys. Maybe they could pull something off that way.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I'm not sure, you know, in terms of the team that trades for that, obviously that would be a team who had some other good defensive players to take on that duo. But you're right. It's like lottery tickets. You play those bets, and if you hit high with one of them, then you figure, you know, it may be worth it depending on what the Yankees get back. All right. One other one before we sort of put a bow on this season and try to figure it out. I'll give you another one I think is a little bit of a challenge, which is what do the Yankees do with the shortstop position and Gleyber Torres? Are you expecting that Gleyber is the starting shortstop next year, or do they, you know, let's assume DJ LeMahieu comes back. If Luke Voit is also back and Urshela is at third, you know, kind of are they going back with Gleyber and riding with him defensively at short?
I think so. I don't think he killed you at shortstop this year. In the playoffs, he didn't. He wasn't the problem in the playoffs. I think that they tell Gleyber, you know, get better. I know that typically defense peaks early in your 20s. Really, I think they say get
hashtag,
better.
Hashtag analysis. Okay, so here's the strategy for Gleyber Torres. Get better, man!
No, but I mean, what else do you do? You don't move DJ off second base, who is a gold glove second baseman. He's not that great of a first baseman. He's a fine first baseman. He's better than Luke Voit, but you're kind of...
Well, you'd have to, I guess the only way to move him off of shortstop, well, one is you'd have to have somebody else who's better, whether you're trading for that player or you'd have to find somebody better. And then your other issue, though, is you'd then have to sell high on a Luke Voit and get back talent and move DJ LeMahieu over. I mean, I guess that would be your play to try and open up shortstop. But you're right, it's complicated.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Luke Voit's still pretty cheap. He's going into his first year of arbitration. He just led the league in home runs.
Mm-hmm.
How do you gauge correctly what you're going to get for Luke Voit? I don't know. But if you trade Luke Voit, you better have a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just don't see it happening. I think they're going to go with a year or two of Gleyber. I think they thought they can get away with Gleyber this season, and they kind of did.
Yep.
And they try to tell him, you know, work on your range, your side-to-side mobility, because that's the issue more than anything.
You heard it from Brendan Cuddy. The recommendation for the Yankees in the offseason, hey, is just get better.
Right.
I think that's going to be the philosophy.
Lori, hey, I wake up every morning and I tell myself to get better.
You know what, BK? Stay the way you are. Enjoy San Diego. I've appreciated the time checking in throughout the season, and I look forward to keeping in touch during the season.
Hey, Lori, I'm here all off season whenever you need me. Thank you so much for having me on. And Yankees fans, hold your head. You know, you can't expect to win a World Series every year, but you know what? You can because you're a Yankees fan. So be angry.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.